Okay. Good morning. It is 10 a.m. It's time to get this this meeting's going. My name is Jake Albrecht. I'm the chairman of the Wildlife Board and acting as the hearing officer for today's hearing. Other members of the Wildlife Board present today are, on my left, Steve Dalton, Calvin Crandall, Bill Fenimore. On my right is Greg Hansen, Assistant Attorney General, John Baer, and Mike King. Also, we have helping over here on the North Wall, we have Stacy Coons and Amy Canning helping with the minutes and the organization of the meeting today. On June 5th, 2014, the Wildlife Board held a public meeting at which they considered changes to two Utah administrative rules dealing with the hunting of American krill, Rule 657-3 and Rule 657-6. This meeting was in addition to the five regional advisory council meetings held around the state prior to the Wildlife Board meeting. The proposed rule changes provided for two new instances of hunting American krill in Utah. The taking of American krill due to depredation or nuisance and the authorization of a sport hunt. Four of the RAC votes voted to adopt the proposals as presented by the Division of Wildlife Resources. One RAC, the Northern Region, voted to adopt a proposal for the depredation hunt and to adopt a falconry-only sport hunt. After considering the positions of the RAC and additional public comment, the Wildlife Board voted 3-2 to accept the rule changes as proposed by the Division of Wildlife Resources. Number two, petition to Division of Administrative Rules. Members of the public requested a public hearing on this matter under provisions of the Utah Administrative Rulemaking Act and its implementing rules. We granted this request in order to collect more public comment on this issue. This will be the seventh public hearing on this issue and is separate and distinct from the Wildlife Board and RAC hearings normally held by the Division of Wildlife Resources. The purpose of the hearing is to collect and consider public comment, allow the Division of Wildlife Resources to respond to questions, and to make a final determination on the rule changes specific to American krill as proposed by the Division of Wildlife Resources. We have had substantial comment on this issue and encourage members of the public to present new materials pertinent to hunting of American krill. The public hearing will be comprised of three segments: a public comment period, a response period by the Division of Wildlife Resources to answer questions, and a deliberation period by the Wildlife Board. After the public comment period, the Wildlife Board may ask for the Division's response to select questions generated from verbal and written comment, as well as any questions that members of the Wildlife Board may have, and will consider written comment and will publicly deliberate. To reach resolution, the board may delay their decision until another time, direct the division to amend the rule filing and indicate what changes are necessary, or accept the rule as filed by the division. Board decisions will be made through a motion process and determined by a majority vote. Robert's Rules of Order or other formal evidentiary processes do not apply. As hearing officer, I will publicly announce the decision. There have been requests to separate the agenda to independently address the depredation issue and the sport hunt issue. We will consider both issues under the previously described comment process. You may specify which issue you are commenting on if you prefer. Members of the Wildlife Board may make motions to separate the issue during the deliberation and voting process if they believe that approach is appropriate. Comments. The public may provide comment in two formats: presenting comment in person or in writing. Further, the public may provide comments while representing themselves and while representing a formal organization or government entity. The in-person comment period will be 1 hour. The comment time limit for individuals representing themselves is set at 2 minutes. The comment time limit for organizations, 2 minutes, and only one representative of the organization may present verbal comments to the organization's interest. Each organization will have a guaranteed opportunity to present their materials and will present their comments before members of the general public. Organization representatives fill out an organization comment card and submit it to the hearing coordinator, which is Stacy over here, and that's the green ones. Following the conclusion of organization comments, 5 individuals will be randomly selected to present comments. Each randomly selected individual will be given 2 minutes to provide their comment. After the 4th individual has presented, the subsequent 5 commenters will be selected. So when we get to the 4th one, she'll announce the next 5. We request that these individuals quietly line up at the podium while the 5th individual provides their comments, so they are ready when their turn arrives. This process will be repeated until the public comment period has been open for 1 hour. When giving comment, please provide your name and affiliation for the record. Please be timely in lining up to provide your comment and end your comment when the allotted comment time period expires. The microphones will turn off at the end of each comment period. And if I have to, I'll cut in and ask for the next person to speak up. We have received a substantial written comment prior to this meeting. These materials have been distributed and reviewed by board members, emails, and other things. We will also accept written comments submitted today, which will be attached to the record and considered by the board. If you wish to provide written comment, you may write comments on the comment card provided to you, or you may submit previously prepared comments to the hearing coordinator, which is Stacy. Written comments must be submitted prior to the end of the verbal comment time period in order to be considered. Board members have been provided copies of written comments submitted prior to this meeting. Written comments submitted during the meeting will be considered while the board is deliberating. When providing comment, whether written or in person, please state your name, address, and affiliation. The division will not be making a presentation at this hearing today, as it has presented materials at the 5 RAC meetings and the Wildlife Board meeting. Blair Stringham, the Division of Wildlife Biologist, who presented materials for the division during the RAC and board hearing process, is out of town on business. However, Jason Robinson, Upland Game Coordinator, and Bill Bates, Wildlife Section Chief, are in attendance and familiar with the rules at issue. If a portion of your comment requests a response from the Division of Wildlife, please state those questions clearly. We will consolidate a list of questions produced during verbal and written comment phase and may ask for the division's response to select questions at the discretion of the Wildlife Board. As hearing officer, I will call the appropriate division representative to the podium to respond. Finally, I will request that everyone attending this meeting handle themselves in a respectful, dignified manner. I understand that this is an emotional and potentially controversial topic. I welcome your comments and participation, but demand that participation be in accordance with the procedure I have just described. Individuals who are disruptive, speak out of turn, or otherwise interfere with our public process will be removed by law enforcement. Okay, at this time we're going to call organization representatives to line up at the podium. And the time is 10 minutes after 10.
Any more green cards?
I might stress again, if you ask questions, do it in a comment card or some type of question on there, because it'll take time away from your comments during your comment period. Luann Adams, it will be the first one, followed by Troy Justison, Caleb Stroh, and John Bellman. Those are the first five.
Well, I'm Luann Adams. I'm Commissioner of the Department of Agriculture and Food, and it's a pleasure to be here to be able to make comments. And our farmers and our ranchers that produce food for the state of Utah are very important. And we support our producers. And if they're having problems with crows, we support measures for them to be able to remove them. And we encourage them to use non-lethal measures. But if there's the problem is bigger than that, we support following the rules that are established by wildlife. And that's my comment.
Troy, followed by Caleb.
Good morning. Troy Justison, Sportsman Fish and Wildlife. I believe the real benefit of being able to hunt crows goes back to the agricultural thing. I don't think there's going to be a lot of hunters that actually participate as far as sport, but what it does allow is people in agriculture that handle these problems without going through all the government and red tape and everything that's involved in trying to protect their livelihood. I think it's evident that there's 40 other states, 40 plus other states that hunt crow. A lot of the things stated saying that, hey, it's going to wipe out other blackbirds. I don't believe that's the case. I believe that hunters are smart. We know what we're hunting. And this is a tool to allow us to participate and help solve a problem. I really think it boils down to a hunting issue that people are against, those that believe in the heritage and have a heritage of hunting, and that they'd rather not have us participate in that. So once again, we'd be in favor of keeping the crow hunt as it is. Thank you.
John Bellman is next, if you'll line up while he's speaking.
My name is Caleb Stroh, Kaysville, Utah, here representing the Utah Chukar and Wildlife Foundation, as well as the Utah Falconers Association. We are both organizations in favor of the division's recommendation for the crow hunt. Thank you.
Lynn Warwood would be next.
I'm John Bellman from Layton, Utah, and thank you, the board, for allowing me to be here and make some comments. Populations of crows, I've lived in this state for 39 years. I've done bird surveys, many for the Division of Wildlife Resources for 34 years. Population of crows have increased in the last 15 to 20 years, but they've increased in the urban area. They're not in the rural areas. This is an urban backyard bird. And there will not be any hunting in city limits, and I think that could be a problem. Also, depredation. We have a process for depredation permits for agriculture. That's not really, we don't see that as a problem. We support hunting if it's done in a good way. There's dozens of bird species that the state allows to hunt. And we don't have a problem with that. But whenever they have estimated or perceived population numbers, they don't really have a good population a good hard number of what the population of crows are in the rural and the urban area. And then you want to have a hunt statewide when this is a northern region really issue with depredation and crops. I see that as a big problem. And I understand the Upland Game proclamation is already out, and the crow hunt is there, and some of the ID information on there is very vague, not that great. And as far as providing the opportunity to hunt, like I said, there are dozens of species are
Good morning, Board. I'm Lynn Warwood. I represent the National Wild Turkey Federation. I'm the state chapter vice president. Our state board and our state membership supports the Division of Wildlife and their recommendations for the crow hunt under the rules that they've given you before. Thank you for your time.
Wayne H. Holy, I think. I can't pronounce that last. I think I'm right there. Followed by Sterling Brown.
I'm Wayne Whaley, representing Utah County Brewers. This is based on two Utah code, parts of the Utah code, and it's dealing with the depredation and with the information on why this crow hunt is proceeding. With depredation, there is no data, it appears to be no data, representing the amount of depredation that is occurring in Utah. When someone tries to get it, I get nothing but anecdotal information. We would like to know a little bit more about just how bad this depredation is, if it's occurring at all. By listing the American crow as an upland game species, also it's bypassing U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Title 50, Part 21.43, Migratory Bird Permits, dealing with depredation. One must attempt to control depredation first by non-lethal methods. And it appears to me that by passing this as an upland game species, we are bypassing that rule. The other one is the reason for this hunt, which is really a two-part thing. Other states do it. This is not scientifically based. And also, it gives Utah hunters an opportunity to hunt when nothing else is in season. This is not scientifically based. I'm a biologist. I'm also have worked with several agencies, especially with the Arizona Game and Fish Department. There we studied sustainable yield, part of my master's thesis. This is not dealing with sustainable yield. For one thing, someone on the board made a comment dealing with this, and that was that during that meeting, if I can find it here, hold on a minute. Oh, here's a comment from someone on the board here. You start with hunting and then survey the hunters to find out how many of a species they saw and where. Well, that's a terrible statement. That is not even based on any science at all. I know a little bit about wildlife ecology. Not because I've got degrees. I don't take it that way. I've been interested in this
topic. Your time's up.
Thank you.
Sterling, followed by Tim Brown.
Sterling Brown with Utah Farm Bureau Federation. In the last 10 days, I have reached out to a number of our members in the following six counties: Utah County, Salt Lake, Davis, Weber, Morgan, and Box Elder County. And let me just take part of my precious time to go through a short list of my findings. Two corn farmers in Harriman report corn seed loss as a result of some crows. West Weber and South Box Elder County, same. Corn seed crows walking down the rows and picking some of the corn seed out, similar to a more pertinent problem from sandhill cranes that we've addressed, of course, over the years. West Weber County and a couple dairymen out that way, crows landing on those plastic silage bags, plucking a hole in the silage bag, creating some problems. Perry and Willard, and in one small cherry grower in South Utah County, reporting some problem, not extensive, but some problems as a result of their cherry and fruit crops. Layton, we have a vegetable grower in West Layton that produces some vegetables and drives truck in the early spring. He reports an increasing population of crows on dumpsters and spreading into some fields. Green River was not on my list, but just this morning en route to this meeting, a Green River melon grower reported some crows. And then dairymen generally are concerned with disease spreading. In summary, farmers and ranchers are businessmen, in many cases investing tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, and in some cases millions of dollars into their business. And in an effort to help control birds, we support the division's recommendation and your actions.
Time's up.
Earlier this month. Thank you.
Gene Bear Smith.
Hello, I'm Tim Brown, the director at Tracy Aviary. We are opposed to the addition of crows as a game bird. Tracy Aviary's mission is to inspire curiosity and caring for birds and nature through education and conservation. We achieve our mission through exhibits, education programs, conservation programs, and landscapes. Many assume because of our focus on birds that we're against hunting, but that assumption is incorrect. We understand and appreciate the role hunters have played in preserving habitats and speaking as advocates for the environment. Hunters protected hundreds of thousands of acres. They've also helped instill concepts like the land ethic, which has guided habitat management. And it's with ethics in mind that we ride in opposition. One of the reasons given for the hunt is to increase the number of hunters, to provide an introductory type species for people to hunt. And among the most important lessons hunters are taught is to clearly identify your species. Some species are easier to distinguish than others. That's not the case with crows. Crows and ravens are confused among people who do bird, people that know birds. It's not easy to tell what that blackbird flying in the air is. It seems like as an entry-level species, that's a really bad thing to do. That's a challenge that you should not introduce to those folks. Another ethic among hunters is to eat the game they kill. But no one eats crow intentionally. So again, it seems like a very strange thing to introduce hunters to. That's not the ethic that you want to instill in beginning hunters. Thank you.
Gene? Be followed by Buzz Murthaler.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm Gene Bearsham with the Humane Society of Utah. We believe that crows play a vital role in the balance of life and that they help control disease and crop damage. And nesting crows, they're monogamous and they mate for life. They're very intelligent and they actually have great problem-solving skills that they use to sometimes find things to eat. And though crows are managed by the Wildlife Board, I think they believe to all, belong to all the people in the state of Utah. And I don't think we should just be catering to the some hunters who want to hunt a species in between the normal hunting season. There are plenty of other native bird species to hunt, and as was said before, there aren't many people that like to eat crow either because, of course, that's where we've gotten the saying from in our society. And I really want to know how 100 feet away a person can tell the difference, even an expert can tell the difference between a crow and a raven out in the field. And we think that's, like, really a valid point that you're just going to be shooting a lot of other birds, maybe even blackbirds, who do a lot of depredation too. Also, there isn't any scientific data that's been shown that there should be a crow hunt. It's basically just been by observation, which we think there should be more scientific data. Some people, you know, may like to kill crows, but, you know, you really have to ask yourself with regarding the sport hunt, is this a hunt or is it a slaughter? And, you know, we think that's ethically with these birds, again, they're intelligent birds, and they should be looked at that way, and they do
Time's
benefit.
Up. Thank you.
Okay.
Carl Engel is next.
Buzz Martha, representing the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center in northern Utah. I've heard comments about red tape and some problems and reporting some crows, and I have seen some birds out there too, but that doesn't require us to shoot them and kill them. So we are against hunting the crow. Some hunters assume that we are against hunting. We are not against hunting. We are against unethical hunting. Our hunting heritage, as enjoyed by many ethical hunters, is about the historical family values and traditions surrounding hunting for food and clothing and not just killing to kill. Okay, so that's our point on the hunt. On the depredation rule, we believe it should be enforceable, hold the user and DWR accountable for certain actions. Red tape is necessary in a government situation. And then we need to be able to provide data for ongoing management of our wildlife. Right now, we have nothing in this rule that allows us to manage wildlife other than to turn our heads and say, if you have a problem, take it upon yourself to do what you feel you need to do. You determine if it's a problem, if it's a nuisance, if it's a health hazard, and go for it. We don't find out what species is being taken out. We don't know what the problem is. We don't know what regions, and we need to know this kind of data. And we've provided you with a letter that gives you some recommendations. You may not follow them all, but it gives you some idea of what we're looking for, and we would like you to consider those. We need knowledge, we need data, and we need integrity in this rule. And based on the proven need for wildlife law enforcement in our state or across the country, we would not have law enforcement officers in DWR if we did not have a need. And we know that the honor system doesn't work. If the honor system worked, we wouldn't have speed limit signs on our highways, and we wouldn't have U.S. Highway Patrol out there worried about it.
Time's up.
Doing
Thank
whatever
you.
We need to do. Thank you.
Carl,
followed by...
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thank you for having me today. My name is Carl Ingwell. I'm here representing Utah Birders. We're an online birding community. We're the largest online birding community in Utah. And I just wanted to start off by saying that we do support hunting and hunters. We've worked on measures in the past with the Division of Natural Resources. If you remember, a couple years ago, we worked on the shooting buffer issue along the Antelope Island Causeway. And just one more note, one of our founders is a current hunter, and we are made up of a good deal of hunters in our group as well. So our concerns are, I've worked as a wildlife biologist, an avian biologist, for the past 6 years, and over those years, I have not counted a single crow in an area where it is legal to discharge a firearm. Crows are mostly an urban species. They're very localized in the state of Utah, and most of the areas they're in, it would not be legal to discharge a firearm. Another thing is, I'm just going to mirror everyone else's comments, so I won't take up a whole lot of time here. The last comment I'd like to make is just that we'd like to see some sort of scientific study rather than anecdotal evidence to prove that this hunt is necessary and or beneficial to the state of Utah. Thanks.
Debbie? Followed by Kirk Robinson. We have two mics if you the other one wants to come up and get on the other one.
My name is Debbie Pappas. I'm the founder and director for Second Chance Wildlife Rehabilitation in Price, Utah. Thank you, board, for holding this additional meeting for those of us who oppose the crow hunt. I'd just like to address two issues, basically, regarding the hunting situation. This seems to be coming out as a polarizing issue between hunters and non-hunters, and that just isn't so. A lot of times this argument is, people like to bring this argument up to polarize purposely, but this isn't about that. I work with dedicated hunters all the time doing wildlife rehabilitation. I have a great relationship with my dedicated hunters. I come from a long history of hunters in my family. So this is not about hunting. This is about another issue altogether, which has already been addressed. Second of all, and I think the most important, and I don't know why this keeps continuing to go, we've got a major, major issue on ID. Now, I know it keeps being said that people that hunt are experts at this, but talking to many, many, many wildlife DWR officers, we have lots of issues with things being shot accidentally all the time, including ducks. So the crow and raven issue, which I guarantee you, in my own regional office, many, many folks there have problems identifying ravens versus crows. I'm frequently called to pick up crows that are injured when they're ravens. These are your own people. These are people that are supposed to know how to ID them. These are fellow hunters. They can't ID them, and they're this close to them. So I don't even know why we're still addressing this, because I guarantee you when they're out there, it looks a whole lot different. That's the end of my comment.
First, Robinson, followed by Ray Hall. Can't pronounce the last name. McCary.
Good morning, Board. Kirk Robinson, representing Western Wildlife Conservancy. Our organization is opposed to the proposed crow hunt, and it would be very difficult for me to add additional reasons beyond those that have already been stated several times. But I think the most significant point is this, that from our point of view and the point of view of many, many citizens in Utah and across the country, increasingly so, there needs to be a legitimate rationale for killing things. More and more people don't regard it as our prerogative as human beings to just kill other species for lame reasons. And I just urge you to consider whether or not in this case the reasons have set a high enough bar for deciding to legitimize killing. Is the fact that some people want to hunt something a good enough reason for legitimizing killing it? I don't dispute that there are cases of depredation, but do we have sufficient data to show that it's a big enough problem that needs to be addressed? And even more specifically, would this particular measure help? Can anybody here explain how a hunt for crows would solve the depredation issue in a way that we can't already deal with, probably more effectively under current regulations? If you can't, then I suggest maybe the bar is too low in this case for authorizing a hunt, and maybe you should reconsider for that reason alone. Our organization is not opposed to hunting. We always get accused of that. I think hunters tend to feel that their privileges are being attacked. That really isn't the case. There are lots of other issues here to consider. Thank you.
Please hold your clapping, please. Alyssa Nelson will be next after Rahul.
Hi, my name is Rahul Mukherjee, and I'm here to represent Great Salt Lake Audubon. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak today. It was mentioned in the prior meetings that the crows were destroying the fruit trees in some town. It makes no sense to make the crow a game bird if this is really the case. This case can be handled in two different but better ways. Put nets which prevent the crows from destroying the fruit crops. Therefore, given the choice, let's work in a more constructive mindset to achieve our goals instead of killing off the crows. However, if someone is facing the problem with the crow killing his or her fruit trees, they have the option to kill the crow as per the Migratory Bird Treaty Act. Now, I'm not advocating that person should kill the crow, but this would be a better alternative than making the crow a game bird. I would encourage you also to take a look at this issue from our point of view, being the people who are against this crow hunt. I know a lot of people find the crow to be a pest, but when I see a crow, I see a beautiful bird, and a lot of people would say the same. It saddens me that this hunt was ever approved, and this is why I urge you to reconsider. Thank you.
I'm Alyssa Nelson, owner of Utah Animal Education on Facebook. I am an animal rights activist, animal educator, and animal lover. 2 months ago, I started leading the opposition against this, recruiting many people in a petition with 3,000 signatures. I have now been opposing this crow hunt for 2 months. I have attended 3 meetings now. First of all, I do not agree with the proposed changes to set criteria for lethal removal of American crow and to add them as a migratory game bird and upland game bird. I have spoken to many people who have studied crows all their life who agree with my point that this hunt would be killing for the sake of killing. Is that really what we want to teach our children? This is not wildlife conservation or management when you have no statistical graphs except from crowbusters.com. As for the farmers who say crows are eating their crops, all birds eat, and there is such a thing as a hunting dog that can run the birds away without destroying them. And with all the public outcry, DNR is creating a name for itself, and not a good one. It makes me wonder why. Why no statistics? Why propose a hunt for the sake of killing when you wouldn't eat crow? There are many people here, people who have taken the time to come here out of their workday to try and prevent this unnecessary hunt from happening. It is not hunter versus tree hugger. The people who are opposed to this are here because they know how unnecessary this is. Think of all the people that are against this. Yes, including the 3,000 people compared to the people that you say, quote unquote, have called and complained. We all care about what happens in Utah and what happens to its wildlife. If you people pass this squirrel hunt again, and all the I myself and all the people who are here and the 3,000 plus that signed my petition will be greatly disappointed in Utah DNR, and most of the people who live out of the country or out of the state say that they will never come to Utah again if this passes. I submitted my petition last meeting with 3,000 signatures. Then I asked for it back about 2 weeks after June 5th, and Mr. Sheehan kindly mailed it back to me. I reopened my petition, and I have gained 346 more signatures within the past 2 days.
Your time's up. Thank you. Okay, I have one more comment card that I'm not going to allow because we've already heard from that group. So we're going to go to the orange cards now.
Have we received all of them?
Okay, so we've done all the green ones. And just maybe to clarify for the record, I had two comment cards from SFW and we only allowed one, okay? So now we're going to randomly select the next five. And then we have two microphones, so I'll call out the five people and you guys line up. We'll get through as many as we can in the next 30 minutes. Okay, so Frederick Perfumes, I think is the name. Sharon St. Joan is next. Ray Smith and Frank Glow and Margaret Wynn. If you'll come to the mics and start the comment period. Quicker the better. Frederick, you're first. 2 minutes.
I was reading the Salt Lake Tribune a few days ago when I was absolutely shocked to learn that our community is even considering such a perverse, morbid form of entertainment.
Can you stand a little closer to the mic?
It shows callousness and utter lack of sensitivity and respect towards life. We cannot outlaw idiocy, but we can certainly forbid its actions. Crows and birds are wonderful, intelligent creatures with complex lives and social relationships. They have a highly developed system, just as we do. Just because they're perhaps less intelligent than we are, that doesn't mean that we should consider just killing them. After all, we don't go out and kill slow people with mental disabilities, or my grandfather who has dementia. They absolutely do feel pain, just as we do. As an advanced society who sends astronauts to the moon, we should absolutely forbid such form of entertainment. And yes, it is a matter of hunting. I am very much against the hunt, unless there is a problem with overpopulation. And even then, it should not be an entertainment, but a somber, necessary activity that needs to be pursued only in rare and extraordinary cases. Thank you.
Sharon?
Okay. My name is Sharon St. Joan. I live in Kanab, Utah. Thank you to the Wildlife Board for taking our comments. I am opposed to the crow hunt for many reasons. Here are a couple of them. No one believes that most hunters will eat the crows that they kill. One or two hunters in Utah may eat crows or may use them as trophies, but most will not. Crows are not part of the culture of what Americans eat or what people in Utah eat, and it takes decades to change a culture. It doesn't happen overnight. What will actually happen to these dead crows? They will most likely be left in the field along with other dead and dying birds. If they are picked up, as is required, they will be taken home and thrown in the trash because there is no other use for them. This is the worst kind of wanton waste of wildlife. It is illegal, it's against Utah law, it's against any principles of ethical hunting, and it is inevitable, not just as isolated incidents, but on a widespread systemic scale, wanton waste of wildlife is intrinsic to a crow hunt. What lessons will young people learn hunting crows? One of the two main reasons given for allowing a crow hunt in Utah is that it will provide an opportunity for youth to hunt. But what will these young hunters be learning from a crow hunt that does not follow any of the normal rules of hunting? They will learn that it's okay to say one thing and do another, that it's okay to break the law since everyone else does it, and that authorities will wink and turn a blind eye. They will learn that the tradition of ethical principles in hunting is not taken seriously. They will also learn to despise instead of respect wild birds, since they are killed and thrown away or left to die.
Your time's up. Thank you. Ray Smith, followed by Frant.
I'm Ray Smith. I'm against the crow hunt. Why don't the mighty hunters take their BB guns and shoot house sparrows and starlings? They do more damage than crows ever will. I hope that non-hunters and environmentalists no longer support DWR for the dumb ideas they come up with.
Hello, my name is Franz Koller. I'm a professor of biology at the University of Utah, and I would like to express my strongest opposition to the crow hunt. And I will stick with scientific arguments here, and all the ethical issues have been made. My first and strongest argument is that we have actually no good estimate of the population of crows, and that needs to be specified into breeding crows and influx of crows during the winter months. And I would like to remind the Division of Wildlife Resources that any other species with a population so low in the hundreds of breeding bears would be my estimate, for the state of Utah would be on the reddest of lists for protected species. Yes. To allow a hunt is therefore very inconsistent with any other policy of protecting wildlife in this state and every other state of the United States. And to give you an anecdote, I collect birds for scientific reasons for my federally funded research program on bird behavior, and I've requested 30 or 40 individuals of species that have hundreds of thousands of breeding pairs in the state, and I've been advised that that is too high. So a bag limit of 10 birds per day, per individual, for a species where we have maybe hundreds of breeding pairs, is going to wipe out this species if it were not for influx from other states. And secondly, there are other ways to combat crow damage. Crows are very afraid of new things. We call it neophobia in animal behavior. And it is going to be fairly easy to discourage them from going to fields, etc., with a little bit of creative approach. Thank you.
Okay, after Margaret will be Chuck Rozier, Merle French, Ray Matthews, Carolyn Irie, and Christy Dundleston. Margaret, thank you.
My name is Margaret Wynn. I've spoken before of my opposition to the crow hunt. Several people have expressed their opposition to this hunt, and yet every meeting I've been to, we've been chastised for not voicing our opinions or participating in these meetings on a regular basis. When we have voiced our opinion, it is evident by certain board members, facial expressions and body language, their opinions are entirely unwelcome as anything remotely resembling the non-hunter's point of view. This does not encourage further dialogue or participation, and yet you as board members have a duty to all Utahns, not just hunters, and the majority of Utahns are not hunters yet enjoy these great outdoors. And frankly, I could care less if you have a youth hunt on a Tuesday or Thursday, or opening day of the deer hunt is on the 23rd or 24th. But when you talk about hunting migratory birds like the crow and those other species affected by that hunt, that is another matter entirely. I'm as committed to the protection of migratory birds as you're committed to hunting wildlife. It's a well-documented scientific fact that the migratory bird populations in the U.S. have been in steep decline for the last 60 years and are in danger of collapse in the near future, and with them go our food supplies. Migratory birds like the crow are not like grouse and quail that are more like glorified domesticated chickens that you can raise in a bird farm and release in case you've gotten this wrong. This has potentially broad-reaching consequences, and I ask you to do your duty by all Utahns and for our future generations, not just hunters and a few crop growers who apparently don't feel strong enough to attend. We have consistently shown up to these meetings to express these concerns, yet we have been shown that our opinion, the majority public opinion at these meetings, is consistently disregarded. I'm asking you to do the right thing by all of us, not just a select few who share your same dogmatic opinion, not fact, opinion, which was so clearly expressed in the last meeting by one board member Why should we have to study something to death before killing it? Well, if you were truly qualified to sit on this board with expertise in wildlife and habitat management, economics, business, public land use, and wildlife recreation areas, then yes, that is your duty.
Chuck.
Hey, my name is Chuck over here. I live in West Valley City, and I'm a hunter. I've hunted all my life. I've lived here all my life. I've hunted and fished all my life. Now, I checked the number of birds at 10 a day. One person at 10 a day hunting every single day that the DWR has put out for a legal hunt would make 1,200 birds killed and left to rot by one person in that hunting period. This is ridiculous. I've never seen a hunt like this in my life. Whenever there was depredation by deer, they had it localized. They'd go out and they'd take care of a few deer and that'd be it. But to go out and let people kill 1,200 birds, every single guy, that's ridiculous. You guys are trying to eliminate crows, totally. It's ridiculous. I've never seen anything like it. It's just unconscionable. Thank you.
Merle.
I am an advocate for the innocent and I revere all life. I am opposed to the hunt as it is obviously not well thought out and there's no way to control this hunt. It also sends a message to our younger generation that we can solve our problems with a gun. Thank you.
Ray Matthews.
My name is Ray Matthews. I'm here as a private citizen today. I have a cowboy hat, but I didn't bring it because I don't look as good in it as Mr. Bear does. So. Thank you.
Carolyn Iyer, you're next.
We were told last month by the division that it's gotten to be a nuisance issue. When they roost, you were told, it can be in groups of 1,000 or more. Now, really, you know, if you saw 1,000 crows in a tree, that would be on YouTube. It would be all over social media. I don't think so. In reality, the North American Breeding Bird Survey data for the American crow for 2006 to 2012, prepared by the USGS Patuxent Wildlife Research Center, clearly shows that Utah and Arizona have the lowest density of crows in any states and zero crows counted during the recording period in most of the state. Utah is noted as the only state with, quote, a very low abundance of American crows. You were told that the population of crows is growing. Yet, according to another respected source, the Audubon Christmas Bird Count, crows peaked in Utah in 2004 and have been in a steady decline ever since. 10 years ago, there were nearly 8,400 spotted. Last year, there were just 1,800. Now, we have a son who works for USDA APHIS. You know that agency. We're familiar with depredation. But there's no evidence of any significant kind that there's agricultural depredation in the state of Utah. Now, these rules are a violation of federal law. Crows are protected under the Federal Migratory Bird Act, Title 50. Permit deals with depredation orders from various species, including crows, states that you must attempt to control depredation data by species listed under this depredation order using non-lethal methods before you can lose lethal control. This is in violation of federal law. There's no provision for monitoring. There's no provision for statistics, for gathering statistics to be in compliance with federal law. Thank you.
Carolyn.
My name's Carolyn Ivey. I live in the Camas Valley, and there are a lot of ravens up in Camas. I thought they were crows, but they're really big. They're awesome birds, and I watch them every night at 7 o'clock, 7 to 8, fly over my house and go to the hills to roost. Now, there's also blackbirds, starlings, cowbirds, any bird that is black in color could become targets, and as other people have stated, you know, if you see a blackbird from a distance, it's hard to tell exactly what type of bird it is. I don't think that it's necessary to take lethal methods to take care of our crows. I don't really know if there's even a problem. I know up in my neck of the woods, it's as far as I know, there's still open season on fox. Is that correct? If that is correct, I haven't seen a fox up there in 5 years. When I first moved up there, there were a lot of fox. Now there's none. And I think that's just because, you know, it's open season. Kids can shoot them just for the mere joy of doing so. I think it's bad sportsmanship, and I think that doing the same thing with the crows is equally bad sportsmanship. One other thing, if we do have deprivation or crop losses, I would recommend putting a scarecrow with Dick Cheney's face and a gun out in the field, and it would scare the heck out of pretty much anybody. So that's my comments. Thank you.
Christy Dundelson.
Hi, I'm Christy Dundelson. I live in Farmington, Utah, and I'm a great lover of birds, and I also agree with hunting animals, but I agree with hunting animals because we hunt them for many uses. I don't see hunting crows for any uses. I know people aren't going to eat them. I know that crows are very useful because they eat decomposing meat as part of their diet. They also eat rodents and insects that eat crops, so there's a conflict there with your theory on they eat seed, and I know they do. But they also, as the professor pointed out, can be trained through behavior approaches, so I know we don't have to kill them. And my comment is we don't know all the effects that killing them will have, and we learned a great lesson before we killed the seagulls. So the Great Salt Lake is a breeding ground for seagulls for the whole Pacific Coast, and I ask you to consider that before you kill crows. Thank you.
Okay, the next five is Steve Harmon from Yuma Street, I think Laurie Stoutlitz, Lisa Nelson, Allison Jones, and Lisa Jackson. Steve?
Good morning. Thank you. My name is Steve Harmon, representing myself. I am a lifetime Utah resident who's held a combination fishing and hunting license in Utah continuously for well over 55 years. I'm also an illustrator and a student of ornithology and birding, having studied with Dr. William H. Bailey at the University of Utah. I have several concerns about the crow hunt. I'm opposed to it, at least at this point in time, in the absence of any independently verifiable legitimate data that's widely disseminated to the public. I think we're jumping the gun on a crow hunt. I'm not opposed to hunting, obviously, because of my history, but I think it's a misguided effort. With regard to the depredation issue, I think, again, we need to see information that demonstrates we've tried non-lethal means of controlling crows, and for all of the reasons that have been well articulated during this hearing, I think we have a long way to go before we get to the point where we can justify having a crow hunt. I think a sport hunt sends an entirely wrong message to young people with regard to the ethics of hunting, which appear to be missing entirely from this crow hunting proposal. It's not a way to get young people into hunting. It's a bad way to open young people's minds to hunting as a future activity. I think we also have a serious problem with mistaken identity. I know from all my years of hunting, the number of people I have seen out in the field who have trouble identifying various species of waterfowl and upland game. And the corvid family includes jays, ravens, as we've heard.
Your time's up. Thank you.
So thank you. I'm opposed to the hunt. Thank you.
Laurie?
I'm Laurie Stoutlitz. I'm from Bountiful. I'm a retired teacher, so I'm used to having to document every single thing I did and why I did it, and that's why I got out and retired this year. But I haven't seen any documentation that this is a problem. If there are problems, then there are different ways to go about solving it, not going out and killing such a beautiful, intelligent bird. We have, my neighbor Kitty Corner has a nest of ravens in their yard, which upsets them greatly, but I notice that nobody in the entire neighborhood knew the difference between a crow and a raven. And I think that's going to be the problem here. If this goes through, it's it's hard for people to tell the difference between these two birds. And I think that's going to be a big problem. I also am against the number of birds that are allowed to be killed every day. That's ridiculous in and of itself. Thank you.
My name is Lisa Nelson. I'm Melissa Nelson's mother. At the last meeting, I shared with you some experiences I want to kind of update. We did go to McDonald's in Layton, where there were 12 trees surrounding McDonald's. Each tree contained, at night, with the lights on, 24/7 McDonald's, contained at least 70 to 90 birds. I was amazed by it. They were in migration. It was in the middle of April when the crops were dead, and they had not come out yet. Then they were migrating at that time, and they were staying there during their migration period. I got out of my car to see if they would caught me. They didn't. To see if they would flutter. They didn't. They were not making a nuisance. The people at McDonald's love it. They've been doing it there for 4 years. That is where they feel safe, where it's lighted, where it's a 24/7 McDonald's. Come on. That is how afraid they are. They will not return until October. That is something that you need to know when the crops are dead. Taxidermists. We went on Google. Taxidermists are feeding on this. If you're going to allow crow hunt, you need to realize that taxidermists are charging, after they've are selling, $90 necklaces with a crow claw. A mounted crow is $2,000. These hunters are going to make money off of taxidermists, and that is bad. And I wouldn't want to be held accountable to God if I had made that decision. It's really awful what they're doing to animals. Killing them to sell them is not a good thing. My daughter's a teenager, and she is my child. And her and other children are watching what you're doing. And hunting for a sport is not a good thing. We are seeing blackbirds in the sky. Those blackbirds can be easily mistaken for a lot of starlings that are in the sky at this time.
Time's up. Thank you. Allison?
Hi, I'm Allison Jones, Executive Director of Wild Utah Project. I'm glad my card was pulled. I wasn't able to make it in time to represent my group with the green card. A number of these good people have already taken all the points I wanted to make, but I haven't heard people speaking to the fruit crop depredation very much. And I think there is evidence of a lack of sound data and information in informing this decision along those lines. One of the chief reasons that the division uses to back its proposal for the crow hunt is that the crows have contributed to the damage of fruit crops across the state, as is reported in the media. But one of our colleagues, Dr. Wayne Whaley with Utah Valley University, he called the Utah Department of Agriculture, the Utah State University Extension expert, Mike Pace, and fruit growers of Utah consultants and personnel about this issue. And he reports to us that he received from these fruit growers and consultants is that, and to quote Earl Seeley, the main fruit grower consultant for Utah County fruit growers, is that crows are less than significant as far as damaging fruit crops. And by the way, Utah County produces about 80% of Utah's fruit crop. And so this tells me that crows are actually an insignificant factor in the depredation, and that they have received no complaints from fruit growers relative to crow depredation on those crops. Farmers can already deal with crows and other species that are depredating their crops. And I understand that there is some other proposal before the board that will actually make it easier for them to deal with fruit crop depredation. So I don't see why the proposed crow hunt is needed to help these fruit growers. And that's the topic I wanted to touch on. Thank you.
Lisa Jackson. While she's coming up, the next five is Deborah Drain, Maya McPherson, Pam Petty, Steve Erickson, and Ron Dudley.
My children and I wanted to come today because we have a lot of crows come into our yard in the wintertime, and we love watching them. All the spring and summer birds go away, and we have still birds to watch, and we love watching them in the early spring And in the late fall, when they come, they eat a lot of bugs out of our lawn, which I appreciate. It helps keep our lawn green. And I don't think that even if Utah DNR has a selfish point of view for this, not thinking of the crows and thinking of themselves, I don't think that we are going to be able to tolerate the bug population increase that would happen if we killed that many crows. And I would like you to think about the beauty of these birds as well. My children would like to say a little bit too.
If you hunt crows, you have no idea how it's going to affect the food chain. I was at her and I like this person. Just I like dress foods.
Deborah Drain.
Hi, I'm Deborah Drain. I'm representing myself. I live in Holiday, Utah. We're one of the few communities in my area that actually have crows, and I really enjoy having them there. But my concerns are primarily relating to the lack of data that have been collected regarding crow populations. There's been nothing that's there's no data presented that indicate that crow populations can support the type of hunting that's been proposed. There's no way to manage the proposed hunting. In the article in the previous paper, there was an indication that if somebody killed a raven instead of a crow, they would likely be ticketed. I doubt that DNR or DWR has sufficient wildlife officers to manage the hunt, to identify how many crows are actually being taken, because they'll be left to lie. They're not used for food, clothing, or trophy. And I also don't think the DNR has adequate resources to identify the damage done to non-target species. It seems like you're all jumping the gun regarding hunting American crows. Many people have already said things that I wanted to say, but what I'd like to say in conclusion is that nature belongs to all of us, not just a select part of the population. And to expand hunting to new species for no other reason to allow those who may want to hunt another target species infringe upon the rights of others who care about wildlife. As I firmly believe that before any type of hunting occurs, it must be based on sound population data and a thorough understanding of the impact of hunting on both target and non-target species. And the DNR has simply not met this obligation. And it's a critical part of game management. I can't imagine for any other type of game animal, deer, elk, that you would go out and just say, okay, we've seen a bunch of elk, we can
thank
go
you,
hunt
your
this
time's
many
up.
Today. Thank you.
Wyatt McPherson, followed by Pam Petty.
Hi, I'm Mia McPherson, and I'm a bird and wildlife photographer. I am opposed to the crow hunt for several reasons. If the crow hunt isn't stopped, common ravens will be shot. I'm out in the field several times a week, and even I have difficulty telling ravens from crows and crows from ravens. Crows, much the same as other bird species, are an important part of a healthy environment. Crows are carrion eaters, which helps to clean up the environment, plus they eat insects, which benefits farmers by reducing crop losses and the amount of money needed for pest control. The Wildlife Board should fully recognize the social and economic value of bird watching, photography, and wildlife watching. There are 71.1 million wildlife watchers in the U.S. that contribute $55 billion each year to the economy. People come from out of the state to Utah because of its wonderful resources, and we should not squander those by shooting crows when we do not have sufficient data to prove what their population actually is.
We also need to differentiate between the migratory and resident crow population. At the very least, the crow population should be postponed until there are facts, data, or studies which would show what the Utah crow population actually is. So far, we've not seen that science or the actual complaints of predation. Perhaps it is time for the Utah Wildlife Board to make an informed decision about hunting crows in Utah. Thank you.
Pam Petty, followed by Steve Erickson.
Hello, I'm Pam Petty from Orem, Utah. I'm opposed to the crow hunt, and I think we need to have strict accountability for depredation kills. We should train crows to pick up the trash around the state. It's been done. I will, since everything else has been better said by everyone else, I will give up my time to other people. Thank you.
Steve Erickson. I'm a policy advocate for the Utah Audubon Council, speaking here today but on my own. There's some problems with these rules that have been promulgated, and I'd like to submit written details on some of that. Let's begin, though, with the fact that it's kind of uncertain and unclear to the public what the specific season dates will be, the bag and possession limits, the areas that will be open to hunting, the numbers of permits, and a number of other administrative details. Now, we understand that you'll promulgate this, or that you'll issue these rules in a later proclamation, but given that this has been a controversial and new hunt proposal, we believe that this should have been done in the rules. We find that a number of these rules are vague and conflicting. For instance, the taking rule requires that there be no state permit, licensing, or reporting, but that there will be requirements to do so for the federal government, though no certificate or permit is required federally either. So it's unclear whether a person is going to be hunting crows or only during the hunting season, or whether they're going to be taking them the rest of the year. And this really ought to be cleared up in the rulemaking. Wasting is prohibited under one rule, yet killed crows must be disposed of at a landfill in another. And how is it to be that this is not wasting if you're taking the crows during the hunt rather than during the off season? It's our understanding that the hunt's going to be in September, or rather in the wintertime. It's hard to see a lot of depredation taking place during that period. Given that I'm running out of time, I would suggest that the board withdraw and revise these rules to address the concerns and issues raised here today, and only then reissue them for additional public review prior to adoption. Thanks.
Ron Dudley.
My name is Ron Dudley. I'm a retired zoology and Utah wildlife teacher from Salt Lake School District, and now I'm an avid amateur bird photographer. I'm strongly opposed to the decision to hunt crows in Utah for a variety of reasons, but I'll briefly just cover one of them here. As has been often stated, there is no credible science behind the decision to allow crow hunting. On the opening page of the DWR's website, the following statement is made, and I quote, "The DWR strives to be a highly effective, science-based agency with deep connections to the citizens of Utah." Yet, at the board meeting on June 5th, one of the Utah Wildlife Board members involved in making this decision said, quote, "There are several things about this that don't sit with me. The notion that we have to study something to death and have an absolute problem, be it depredation or overpopulation, before we can hunt an animal, I just couldn't disagree more." End quote. There seems to be a major disconnect between what DWR puts out there for public consumption and the reality of how at least some wildlife management decisions are made. In other words, the talk isn't being walked. This unfortunate decision should be revisited and reversed until such time as the science of wildlife management supports the hunting of crows in Utah. Thank you.
Okay. That is approximately where we started. We have four comment cards left. And at my discretion, I'm going to allow those in, which will let everyone here that wanted to talk speak today. So the last four are Shirley Erickson, Jeff Parker, Eric Naval, I think, and Bob Brister.
Hi, my name is Shirley Erickson Grosby, and I'm a biologist. I made a documentary about the birds of the Great Salt Lake, and I like to go bird watching. Crows are migratory birds, and they should be protected. Bird watching is a big part of the Utah economy. As far as the cost-benefit analysis, the cost of shooting American crows in Utah is far greater than the benefits of bird watching. You can scare off crows in other ways besides killing them. You can use Mylar tape and CDs. The Utah Department of Natural Resources needs to start protecting migratory birds. I had a lot of scientists in my documentary that worked for the Department of Natural Resources that told me that the habitat in Utah is very fragile. And Mike Styler, the head of the Department of Natural Resources, made me take all their interviews out of my documentary. So I've had run-ins with the DNR. And I think the image they portray that they're protecting our wildlife resources isn't true. Thank you.
Followed by Eric.
Good morning, members of the board. My name is Jeff Parker. I'm a Utah environmental attorney. I want to say at the outset that I am opposed to the proposed board action, and while I'm not advising the board legally, I'm expressing my own opinion through my testimony here today. What the board is proposing is unlawful for three reasons. Administrative law requires, and a court would invalidate what the board is proposing. On these reasons, the board's action must be supported by substantial evidence. That's facts or generally accepted scientific evidence, not speculation, not opinion, not wanting to kill something. Secondly, the board's actions cannot be unlawful. If this hunt results in violation of another law, for example, waste of wildlife, the board's actions are unlawful. And finally, the board's actions would be considered arbitrary and capricious if the board enacts this proposal with vague standards. One of the standards is for depredation, what constitutes a nuisance. So for all of those three reasons, what's proposed by the board is unlawful and could be reversed by a court of law with a petition for judicial review. Thank you.
Eric.
Thanks, gentlemen. I appreciate everybody here. This is Chloe, a month-old goshawk. My name's Eric McGill. I'm a Salt Lake resident here, lifelong citizen of the great state of Utah. I really appreciate you guys taking up this issue and proving the hunt. and thanks so much to the division, the staff, the director, as well, for all their hard work. Right on her diaper, if you would have a diaper down here, so just so you know. No extra cleanup for the Wildlife Board, if you might know, is in charge of janitorial services, too, for the building. So don't worry, guys, you'll get out early. But thanks for taking our extra time. I know you didn't require this. I'm a falconer as well. Love wildlife. The connections that humans bring, our human connection to wildlife. You guys know me from my some of the work that I might do with birds and other animals. I respect the arguments that have come up here why we should not hunt crows, and I can't really touch on those. But I will tell you that the hunting of crows is a cultural, ancient quarry for falconry and for hunters. It's approved in many other states. I started as a gun hunter and am now mostly just hunt with my birds for falconry. The plan was to hunt, starting in September, crows with Chloe, and amongst other game. We really, as hunters, have lost lots of opportunity because of things like population numbers. We're about to lose a couple species of grouse to the endangered species list. Climate change and habitat loss and other diseases have caused opportunities to decline for hunters. So the crow hunt will give us one opportunity for humans to reconnect with nature. So I support you guys that you guys have approved this. And I promise you, on behalf of the hunters, one of the hunters that will be out there pursuing crows, just like all hunting, we'll make sure it's done in an ethical manner, laws are followed.
And, thank you. Your time's up. Bob Brister, this will be the last one.
My name is Bob Brister. I'm with the Wild Earth Guardians, and I want to, I'm not going to repeat everything you've heard, I just want to make 2 points. One, on the wastage of wildlife, is it okay to kill wildlife only for fun, or should hunting have a social or ecological purpose? I think this is a question that the board needs to wrestle with, and you need to come up with some clarity on that. I hear a lot of references to the North American model of wildlife management. From what I understand, that does not allow for wastage of wildlife, but here it is. You've at least preliminarily approved a hunt that will result in wastage of wildlife. So I think you need to come to a conclusion among yourself, is wastage of wildlife okay or not? Second point, public opinion. The percentage of hunters in the population is declining. What is the future of wildlife management in Utah when the percentage of hunters is declining, yet you do not have support among people who are non-hunters because of your bias towards hunting? So what does that mean for the future of the Wildlife Board and wildlife management in the state? I strongly encourage you to take up both of those questions. Thank you.
Concludes the public comment period. The next part of this agenda on our item today is we have some written comments that we must go through. The time is 20 minutes after 11. I'm going to ask that these three board members on this side go into this room and go over the public written comments, so that we don't have more than a quorum in one room. And then the other three will go in this room here. That'll be myself, John, and Mike. We will reconvene at 15 minutes till 12. Unless we have more than what we think we can get through, and at that time I'll come out and announce it. Can we get everyone get seated, please? Okay, we want to restart our meeting here in front of the public. Is there any board member who did not get to read or go through any of the written comments? Okay, seeing none, we're going to turn the time over to the board members. As part of what I thought was my assignment, as well as some of the others, when we were doing the public comments, I wrote down some some questions that came up from the public, as well as what I thought maybe should be asked. I don't know exactly who will answer these questions. Somebody from the division, whether it be Director Sheehan, Bill Bates, Jason, or somebody else. I have a list of five or six, and if any of you other gentlemen have some, we'll go through those maybe after I get done. That work? Okay, first question that I have is, how significant is the depredation issue, and what reports do you receive?
I'd like to address that, if I could, Mr. Chairman. And the level of depredation problems is not huge, is what I would say. But the reason this all came about is I was contacted by Mr. Mike Linnell from the State Director of Wildlife Services, who noted an inconsistency or noted a difference in the state law versus the federal law in dealing with potential depredation from the American crow. And what he asked me at that time was, why was our depredation rule more restrictive than the federal rule is in dealing with them? And in order for them to allow landowners to deal effectively with those issues, he asked if I could check into the possibility of maybe reconciling those two rules. And personally, I haven't had a lot of people complain to me about depredation by American crows, but I trust the agricultural community. I know that they have businesses, and they have contacted Wildlife Services on several occasions, and we needed to give them a tool where it could be legal for them under state law, although there was already federal law, but under state law, we also had to give them a tool to be able to deal with depredation problems. And so that's the reason we even looked into this. That answer your question?
You guys good with that? Okay, there'll probably be some follow-up as we go along.
I'm going to say, can I follow up real quick on that? So is the state and the federal now in Utah aligned together with the same standards, or is this going to make them the same standards?
Greg?
Hey, I'll comment on that. Greg Hansen with the Utah Attorney General's Office for the Division of Wildlife Resources. Both proposed rules comply with provisions within the Migratory Bird Treaty Act and actually adopted and incorporated the provisions and requirements specific to the Migratory Bird Treaty Act. So both rules would stand up to any legal challenge. It's my opinion that they are consistent with both state and federal law.
All right. Thank you.
This is where I had one question, and maybe I looked at the wrong copy, but I believe the copy of the rule, the depredation rule that I looked at that was in our June packet, had a few differences in relative to what you could actually take a crow for. And this morning I asked about that and got another copy of it that shows that the federal policy and the state policy are pretty much identical. But there were some differences that I thought might cause some confusion. In that June draft, there wasn't an option there for crows taking wildlife, and there is in the federal system. The federal system actually was more generous than what the state policy was. So if those two align, then that answers a big question that I have.
There may have been a version issue in the copy that you were looking at, but the copy that was submitted to, it was approved by the board on the June 5th meeting and submitted for consideration in front of the Division of Administrative Rules, is consistent with the requirements of the Migratory Bird Treaty Act. The two standards are identical now.
That's why we have members of the Attorney General's office keep us in line.
Okay. Numerous time we heard people ask question about how we distinguish crows from non-target species. So how can an individual distinguish crows from non-target species in the field, and what does DWR regulation provide?
I'll take an attempt at that, Mr. Chairman. Jason Robinson, upland game coordinator, filling in for Blair today. Crows and ravens are similar in their appearance, both being blackbirds. However, they can be pulled apart. You know, obviously, that's the case because they're different species. Crows are smaller than ravens. They have a different bill shape. They also have different behavior characteristics from ravens. There's also differences in the tail shape. And, you know, most hunters are harvesting birds with a shotgun that would be within 20 or 30 yards. And so we feel that at that distance, a hunter could be able to tell them apart. A key point to this is that a hunter does not have to shoot. And that's a point that we always make with hunting, is be sure of your target. And so even though it's a blackbird, if they can identify it, they should not be shooting it. And we would strongly encourage that. In addition to that, the division's prepared to offer informational pictures, that kind of thing, to help hunters identify their target. And that would be provided to in the upland game guidebook for anyone that would go out and pursue those birds. So we feel that hunters can tell wildlife apart. There's a whole variety of species that hunters tell apart. And with some training, a person can tell them apart.
Okay. And maybe we've already got the answer on this, but one more time. Is this the rule legal then?
In my opinion, it is. It would withstand any legal challenge.
Okay. How does the hunt for crows effectively address depredation problems beyond what is currently available?
What it would allow is Wildlife Services doesn't have enough personnel or enough, you know, resources to deal with every situation, but during the open season, if a landowner was having problems, they'd be able to go out and take some of the, you know, take care of the problem themselves after some manner.
So, Mr. Chairman, could I follow up on that?
Yeah, what is a hunt for
crows?
Sure.
I want to make sure that I understood your question correctly. Greg Sheehan, Utah Division of Wildlife Resources. Was your question, what will this provide additionally beyond what they have now? Because right now, they have nothing. Is that correct, Greg?
That's
there is no legal. And we heard several comments today by members of the audience saying there's already opportunities for them to take this under the Federal Migratory Bird Treaty Act. The act provides that, provided that the states create a framework for that to operate within. So there are no legal legal allowances for depredation take right now. So just to clear that up for any misconfusion in the audience.
Okay. How is wasting addressed in each rule, and can birds be left in the field? So we have a depredation rule and we have the hunting rule.
Within the depredation rule, there are requirements that the bird be taken from the field and actually incinerated. The size of the and the number of birds that would be taken, it's unreasonable to require the person that's conducting the depredation action to actually consume the meat. For the sport hunting rule, there's a requirement that the bird be taken from the field and actually consumed. For sport hunting, there's a requirement that no wasting occur. Both rules, but defining waste for the depredation rule is within the state's prerogative, and for the depredation action specifically, there are different requirements than the sport hunt.
Greg, isn't that language that you just mentioned part of the federal language?
Yep, and that is part of the Migratory Bird
so
Treaty Act. And
that's not something
CFR.
We've devised, but something that if we're adopting the federal law, that's their language. There's also some other language talking about that you cannot use lead shot on this under depredation. So there are a few rules that, again, we've incorporated directly out of the federal guidelines. So whether folks feel they're good or not, that's what the federal rules indicate.
Okay, so another question I had, is there any other non-lethal means that you considered on American crows other than what's in the rule?
We'd still have full opportunity if somebody calls us and asks for advice on how to resolve depredation problems. Our first response isn't going to be to go out and shoot them. It's going to be to try the things that have been suggested today to, you know, work with Wildlife Services on working on non-lethal methods first. And so certainly we would take that approach.
I may jump in. The rule actually requires non-lethal means first, and only in the event that those non-lethal means are ineffective do you move to lethal take.
And then my last question is, and part of this has already been answered, but how does this program comply with the North American model of waterfowl management? Wildlife, whatever, waterfowl.
The North American model, which really all of the states in our country abide by, it has several tenets that talk about why and how wildlife should be used and consumed. One of those that I think has been brought up is, I believe it says wildlife must only be taken for legitimate purposes. And I think that's one that's been questioned here somewhat. And we believe that a legitimate purpose in one case is depredation, production of crops. But the other is for the continuance of hunting and to go further fishing opportunities as we look at those sorts of species as well to promote the existence of wildlife agencies in this country. I've said this before, whether people fully buy into that the North American model, the reality is our organization is primarily funded by the revenues we generate from those that hunt and fish. And with those dollars, we fund many activities that promote wildlife in our state. There was a comment earlier, it says migratory birds are heading to all-time lows. The reality is our migratory bird populations in this state, particularly waterfowl, or specifically waterfowl, are at all-time highs. So while we're out there hunting those, we've got far more birds than we've had in the past. And those birds thrive because of the wildlife management efforts that we do through our wildlife management areas and other measures in the state. We also spend considerable dollars through this North American model helping other birds in the state. Last year we did a phenomenal project to help the California condors in southern Utah. We have dedicated hunters to come in and help with that. This year we're happy to report the first time ever we have had a condor chick born and being raised in Utah, and largely because of reductions that we've been able to do working with hunters and other measures. So back to your question, how does this fit into the North American model? Hunting is a part of that North American model, and it does generate resources that help us help all species. We certainly have no interest in eliminating crows, and if we see trends that occur that make us believe that those birds are in some kind of peril, we would reduce or eliminate the hunt, just like we do with every other species that we manage in the state. And I think we've got over a 100-year track record of doing that effectively. So I apologize for taking too long, but I did want to make some of those points. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, have any of you other gentlemen got any questions that I have not covered? Mr. Fenimore.
I just wanted to follow up, Greg, on the wasting issue. In the sport hunt, then, hunters who are successful are required to take those animals from the field, take them home, and consume them.
Yes.
And if we find out that they don't, then they be open for citation and so forth?
Yes.
I guess that's the same rule as deer, elk, anything else. Same thing, they can take them home and consume them.
Same standard.
Mike, you got a question?
Yeah, I've got two or three things that I wanted to ask about. The first one was just one more time for my dense self on this issue of the federal regulation and the state regulation. It's not been clear to me that the state had to have a regulation in place in order for a landowner or someone else to go ahead and take nuisance crows. So is that the case?
There are two separate federal programs. One is a permitting program and one is done under a depredation order. And there's a general depredation order in place for American crow within Utah, but it requires that there's a state program to be in place prior to members of the public exercising the rights that are described in that order. So there is a separate mechanism available, but it requires permitting by the federal government. So there's not a readily available process for members of the public to combat depredation issues unless these rules go in place.
Okay, so the state can do whatever they want within the guidelines of the federal regulations, so they could make it less stringent but not more stringent? Or
vice versa. State regulations can be more restrictive than what the federal guidelines authorize, but they can't be less restrictive. The rules that we've adopted are identical with the federal regs.
My next question is there some type of a timeline that makes this compelling to do this now?
I'll let Director Sheehan respond to that.
I don't know that there's specifically anything compelling that says it has to happen this year or next year or could not have happened 5 years ago, to be honest with you. We believe that populations are sufficient to address some harvest. Certainly, we do surveys each year for upland bird and waterfowl hunting. That's part of our program and easy for us to incorporate and monitor what harvest is occurring now. And something that at your discretion or advice, we would be willing to incorporate into our surveys each year.
Okay. My next question has to do with wildlife services. We've heard here today, someone made the comment about the lack of complaints that Wildlife Services has dealt with. We received a letter indicating that Wildlife Services wasn't responsible for the removal of any crows during 2013, and I'm just curious about that. What has Wildlife Services done this past year relative to crow depredation complaints?
And my name is Mike Linnell, State Director for the Wildlife Services Program, and also the Utah. We have a division within the Utah Department of Agriculture and Food. As a federal agency, our funding mechanism is on basically a fee-for-service basis, and so we have not had a system in place. We've had an urban program in the Salt Lake area where we do get calls on. It was formerly for skunks and raccoons, but we just haven't had a mechanism where we've had a program to respond to crows damage in the past. We have had some complaints. We do a training for like continuing education, almost like an extension for vertebrate pest problems for the ag community. And that's where this question came up, is because we're getting more complaints, but we have not had a formal system in place for documenting that. We are in the process of setting up a database where we can document when calls come in, and specifically relating to crows. We've had farmers that have contacted us, especially with like sea corn, where they'll pick up the emergent thing, just like the sandhill cranes. But in terms of responding to crow damage, if we had big, major issues, we could respond to that. This gives small landowners a mechanism for responding to that without having to come to us, especially when they just don't have the funds on a fee-for-service basis, and we just don't have the resources because we're committed to other duties at this point in time. That's the reason we haven't. It's not that we haven't had calls on it. It's just that we haven't had the resources.
You personally, or the agency personally, has not responded to. Well, what I mean by responding to, you haven't gone out and done such type of removal program.
Correct. We've had a few as part of that urban program that we had in the Salt Lake County area. We've responded to a few magpie, like real aggressive magpie complaints that actually drew blood. One person actually went to the hospital for it, but for stitches for it, an aggressive magpie. But just those are the exception on those. But normally we don't have a response for that. Program in place for that.
Okay, so this is another question, a general question. Then under this new depredation rule, that we have or will have. I guess we have it now, but that's in place. What do I do as a landowner? I've got crows in my peach orchard. This is real personal to me because robins ate 3 of my 6 peaches last year. I'm pretty upset about that. But then I figured, well, they probably contributed some fertilizer to the process, so maybe they should get something. So if I have a problem, what do I do? Who do I call? Do I call Wildlife Services? Do I call DWR? And what are they going to tell me that I need to do? Is it, are you operating on the same page? Are you going to work together? Are you going to operate independently, one guided by federal programs and funding, one guided by state programs and funding? How's that all going to work? And anybody can answer that, not just you, Mike. But.
Yeah, if I could address that. Again, our program in Utah is a collaborative program with the Utah Department of Agriculture and Food. We still work very closely with the Division of Wildlife, but our mission is to alleviate wildlife damage to agriculture. And so we do a lot of extension, a lot of technical assistance right now currently. And I've heard it brought up several times today about non-lethal methods. That is, I'd say 95% of the efforts could be non-lethal. And we do a lot of input for things like that, or we give a lot of guidance on that. But as we know, crows are very intelligent animals, and they quickly, they're neophobic, and they do learn to avoid new things very quickly, but they also adapt to that very quickly. That intelligence is what makes them so difficult to control with non-lethal. Mm-hmm. And I can speak to farmers are the ultimate stewards of the land out there, and they want and enjoy and value wildlife. There's this impression that all crows are viewed as bad, and that is not the case. But every now and then, the robins that are eating your peaches or the crows that are eating their sweet corn or their cherries can be bad. And so the goal is not to get rid of all the crows. It's to alleviate the damage that they're causing. And this depredation is intended as a supplement to non-lethal efforts. And in fact, the law requires that, both the federal depredation order as well as this new state rule. And so we will continue to have where people, and they still do, call us up and we give them a lot of technical assistance. That program will continue. We just don't have the mechanism to go out and respond and remove those. We do have a permit through the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and a certificate of registration through the Division of Wildlife if we have to go out and remove it, but we don't have the resources to respond, and this just gives them a mechanism to respond to damage without having to go through a pretty arduous permit process, because the damage is basically, it can be pretty extensive by the time they get the permit.
From the DWR side, your story?
I would guess that the majority of agricultural-related problems are going to go to Wildlife Services before us, although there may be some that would come here, but that's just who they talk to first. But occasionally we do get calls, especially from just general landowners and like yourself and myself who have a few fruit trees. And but I think that, according to the rule, our first response would be to advise them of non-lethal methods, to encourage them to talk with Wildlife Services for more information. And then, I think we're going to follow the exact same procedure.
What happens in the case of a real severe urban problem where you have 3,000 birds next to a 24-hour McDonald's? How do you handle that?
And in those situations, that's probably where we would get involved. We coordinate with the Division of Wildlife, local law enforcement, and things like that. We have a lot of tools at our disposal. We're somewhat limited with pyrotechnics and, noisemakers. We've done a lot of netting. We used to provide netting and in other states we still do for like blueberry orchards and things like that. But in these urban areas, your tools are more restrictive, and you just got to address each situation on a site-by-site basis. We have special lasers. They're not like a laser pointer, but pretty dramatic lasers. There's quite a bit of work being done on new frightening techniques with our research center out of Fort Collins, Colorado, trying to develop new non-lethal dispersal agents.
And I'm assuming that if you were to do something like that, you'd have to do a cooperative effort with
Correct.
DWR and with the city involved and
Correct.
Those kind of folks as well.
And we do those kinds of things all the time. I mean, that kind of mechanism's in place. It's these smaller farm things that this would address. That process is in place for the big congregations.
Okay. Well, I'll be quiet for now.
Okay. Any other gentlemen got any questions? Okay. Any of you other gentlemen got any comments?
I'll make a comment. I'm just curious. We had a couple of folks tied to the agricultural industry that were here today speaking, and I'm just curious why there aren't more here. I know they work. That's a rhetorical question.
Any of you gentlemen got any comments? Steve Dalton.
Yes, I've got a comment. I'm wondering if crows are listed as an upland game bird species, will that allow the division to assert more attention towards management of crows and population census and those types of things, and address them more aggressively for whatever issues there are out there?
Absolutely.
It seems to me if the division is in charge of them, that will give them the opportunity to direct some more attention towards crows specifically.
Well, it'll allow us to use Pittman Robertson funds.
This issue I see with over in the restaurant area around over in Layton there was kind of an eye opener to me. It was pretty incredible. It looks like we may be setting ourselves up for an issue with crows that we have no real good way of addressing. That's just a comment from me.
Mr. Bear?
No, I appreciate everybody's time coming here today. I know there's, when you get in one of these issues, it can be a little contentious, and a lot of people that disagree for a lot of different reasons. So I appreciate everybody being here, whether we agree or not. I'd kind of like to echo what our good director said about hunting. We have wildlife in Utah because we hunt wildlife. The wildlife we hunt is the wildlife we protect, that we monitor. It puts funds towards that. Never in our state's history has there been an animal of any kind hunted into extinction while it was regulated under the Division of Wildlife. They're not in the business of elimination or extermination. They're in the business of management. If you travel the country and deal with a lot of the other division, departments of wildlife, whatever they may be called, you'll realize soon enough they're not Utah. Ours is definitely a cut above. We have the most open public process. We have the most user-friendly, public-friendly biologists, and they're passionate about their jobs. I think they've done a great job. I think they've done an excellent job putting together the information for this meeting, as well as the other six that we've had on this issue. And I do believe that there's no reason whatsoever ever to believe that the crow population would be endangered or eliminated because of a crow hunt. If you believe hunting's wrong just for the sake of hunting, that's fine. I don't believe that. I'm proud of my hunting heritage. I'm proud to teach my kids to hunt. I'm proud that I was able to spend the time I have in the field with my parents and my grandparents and just my friends. If you don't believe in that, that's fine. Don't participate. But there is no reason whatsoever to believe that because we hunt crows, that the crow population in this state is in danger. The animals we hunt are the animals we manage and protect and that thrive. We have sheep, we have goats, we have turkeys. The list goes on and on. that have thrived in this state because we hunt that species. There's no reason whatsoever to believe the crow will be any different. Thank you.
Okay. I think we've just about discussed this subject about all we can without doing a lot of rhetoric of what we've already discussed. The way it stands right now, we passed both rules at our last Wildlife Board meeting. One of you gentlemen want to make a motion to change that today, more than welcome to. If there's no motion made, the rules that we passed will stay in effect. We need to vote one way or the other. Okay. So we need to vote whether we're going to confirm the rules that are in effect or change the rules to some other criteria or delay it for another time. Mike, you had a question?
No, I want to make a motion.
Okay.
I would make the motion that we consider both of these issues separately, that we consider the hunting aspect as a separate issue and a depredation issue separately.
Okay, so we have a motion by Mike King to separate the two issues, which is the depredation rule and the hunting rule. Do we have a second? We have a second by Mr. Fenimore. Do we have any discussion on that?
No, I'd like to thank everyone for coming to today's meeting and all the other meetings as well. You know, the mission of the division is to safeguard wildlife for all of the citizens, not just the hunting and angling public, but all of the citizens. And there are a significant number of people, more than hunters or anglers combined, who are what we call watchable wildlife folks. And they have a tremendous economic impact in the state. I'm all for the depredation type of a hunt, and I appreciate Dr. King's motion. I'd like to see us hold off on a hunt myself and give ourselves a little more time and data to determine what would be the best course of action for the future. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Any other discussion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor. Mr. King's rule, please raise your hand. Okay, so we have three in favor of that. Okay, so we have Mr. Dalton, Mr. Fenimore, and Mike King in favor. Those of you against. We have John Baer and Calvin Crandall. Okay, so we're going to vote on those on separate issues then. So, leading next motion.
Well, I'll make the motion that we delay the hunt on crows until we've had a little bit more time to study this. I guess really what I would make a motion for initially is that we do not allow a crow hunt in the state of Utah.
Okay, so on your motion, are you saying that we do not have a sporting hunt or a depredation hunt?
A sporting hunt.
Okay. So the
That's
motion by Mr.
Right?
King
we split the motions.
Was not to have a sporting hunt. We have a second. Second by Mr. Fenimore. All in favor of the motion, please raise your hand. Two. All those against, please raise your hand. Three. Motion does not carry, so fails.
I'll make another motion then. I move that we delay the sport hunting of crows until we've had more time to study the issue. We've heard that there's no compelling reason to do it right now. And so my motion would be that we hold off and get more data and have a little bit more of a scientific basis on the needs for the hunt.
Okay, so we have a motion by Mr. King also that we delay the sport hunting until we have more information or a later date. Am I correct on your motion? Do you have a second? Second by Mr. Fenimore. Any other discussion on that?
I'd just say I don't think our division would have brought us a proposal that didn't have good scientific foundation. So,
okay.
You can agree or not.
Time out. You guys are the outside.
But I'm standing with our division. They wouldn't have brought it to us if they didn't feel comfortable with their data.
Tell us what it is. All in favor of the motion, please raise your hand. Two. All against it, please raise your hand. Three. Motion fails. Do we have a motion any different than what we've heard the last two?
I'd like to make a motion that we accept the depredation part of this rule. That's my motion.
Okay.
I got a question for you. Didn't we already do that at the last meeting? That's been voted on. We got to vote on it again? No.
Yeah. Okay, we have a motion.
We separated that. Don't we have to vote on it again?
Yep. We have a motion by Mr. Dalton to accept the depredation rule on American crows. Do we have a second? By Mr. Crandall. All in favor?
No, I need to ask a question.
Okay.
Are we done with hunting?
No.
Okay.
No, we're not. Okay. We had a motion by Mr. Steve Dalton to accept the depredation rule. It was seconded by Mr. Crandall. All in favor? Carries unanimous. Okay, now we need some type of motion on the hunting.
I'll make a motion that we accept the division's proposal on the sport hunt portion of the issue.
We have a motion by Mr. Baer to accept the division's sport hunt on the American crow. Do we have a second? Second by Mr. Crandall. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all in favor? Three, all against? Two, motion carries. So, with that, both the sport hunting and the depredation rule passed today's hearing. I declare this meeting closed.